You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How old are you turning today?
34?
33? Damn, I'll put an extra year on you.
Extra year, man.
I mean, how cool is this? We get to just start the podcast off with birthday wishes.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate that.
We're back, man.
Yeah.
Brand new episode of R2C2.
Man, once a week we've been doing this.
Yes, and we're already into August.
I know.
It's
been flying.
It has been flying, and we stayed consistent. I'm going to be with you in Chicago.
Are you?
So we'll be able to.
That's good.
We'll be able to record there, keep it going, finish through strong, and then hopefully there's a long, deep October run and a parade to celebrate.
For sure.
Do you think if you guys win it all, do you think we can record on a float as the parade's going on?
We can do whatever the fuck we want to win it all. You know what I'm saying?
That's
we just
true.
Gotta win it. Like
if you win a championship, you do have carte blanche.
You
like
do
that.
Do whatever you want.
I like that. So I also know I wanted to bring up you have. I feel like you and Amber, you don't stop with the awesome stuff you do for Pitch In, man.
Nah, man, we try to keep it going, man. Pitch In is our baby. We love it, and we just like to do fun things and to keep stuff going. You know what I'm saying?
Because like the softball event, you think like, okay, like, you know, CC and Amber are shutting it down for the year. No, like you have this other awesome event coming up on August 17th, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Bricks and Hops Beer Garden.
Yep.
You guys are, I guess it's a fantasy football event?
Fantasy football event, big league impact. I did it last year through Adam Wainwright and Matt Holliday and wanted to sign up and get my charity involved. And I'm a big, huge fantasy football fan, and I hope people will come out and sign up. And, you know, it's a great event to get your butt kicked because I'm going to win this league.
Oh, okay, good. So they get to be in a fantasy league
it's
with you?
It's a fantasy league, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, yeah. So to sign up, you go to bigleagueimpact.org. That's bigleagueimpact.org. And I know you guys are hoping through this to raise enough money to provide over 2,500 backpacks that'll be filled with school supplies to kids going back to school. The retail value of each backpack filled with school supplies is $120.
Yeah, that's something huge for us. I mean, that was like one of our big signature programs with the backpack giveaway. So this is charity football, fantasy football thing will go straight to that, and it's going to be a lot of fun because you know, a backpack thing is something that's near and dear to me because, you know, growing up we didn't really have a lot of time to get backpack supply or, you know, back to school supply. So I want to send kids to school in a good way and excited to start the school year. So this is a good way to do it.
I love it. You guys have a tangible impact on the people around you with that, which I absolutely love. And you know what? While we're keeping the fun festivities that people can participate in going, let's also let them know that we're going to have our first R2C2 contest here.
All right, so you're not going to hide the mugs anymore?
No, that's right.
This guy's been fucking hoarding the mugs. He's supposed to bring the mugs two episodes ago.
Did I
still don't have any mugs, man. I don't know.
Did I bring you any mugs?
No, Jack don't have a mug. Nobody have a mug around here. You got all the fucking mugs, so you want to give a mug away?
Mugs, yeah. Let's give away. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away a couple mugs, and we're going to give away, you want to do an autographed pair of cleats?
Yeah, we can do some cleats, yeah,
okay, so we'll give away a couple mugs and autographed pair of cleats. Here's the way we're going to do it, okay? You have to, first things first, subscribe and rate 5 stars with a review on Apple to R2C2. Okay, so that's what we need you guys
to
do first.
But you have to give them 5 stars? Why
do they
have to
give
them
5 stars? We ain't going to give you the prize if you give us 1 star.
You can't make them give us 5 stars.
No. Like, if they give us 1 star, I'm not giving them a mug. Why am I saying thank you very much for shitting on our podcast? No, thank you. So they need to go on, subscribe and rate 5 stars with a review on Apple. Then here's what you do. You take a screenshot of it. Then you tweet the screenshot and tag multiple followers who you think should check out the show. So take a screenshot of your rating and review, tag multiple followers who you think should check out the show with a link to the show. And then once this episode's out Thursday, we're going to tweet out an example of this. We're going to go through and choose three of our favorites, and we'll contact you and end up executing the giveaway. So it sounds maybe a little confusing in those parts,
no,
but it's really not.
But it's social media, so people can figure that shit
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Subscribe and rate 5 stars. Take a screenshot.
The 5-star thing, that's all you. I don't
know
about that.
All right, rate it whatever you want, but I'm not giving you the prize if you rate it 1 star. Take a screenshot and then tweet the screenshot, tagging multiple followers who should check out the show with a link to the show, and then we will choose some of the best ones.
I love how you're making people like the show.
Yeah, that's it. We'll choose some of the best ones, and we'll give you you'll either win a mug or you'll win an autographed pair of cleats from CeCe.
For sure.
More importantly, we have a birthday boy here today.
Yeah.
Adam Jones, your good friend.
33 years old, man. He still plays hard, man. I love this dude. He's one of my really, really close friends in the game. You know, we spend a lot of time together, our families and stuff, so it's going to be fun. I'm excited to have him here.
Here is Orioles center fielder Adam Jones.
You feel 33?
Some days 33. Some days, well, now 33. Some days 43.
It's different running around in the outfield, though. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, some of these days just, they get to you. They wear you down. But we got such a cool job. I've figured it out.
It keeps you young, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I find a way to do it.
Yeah. Nah, sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm 38. Like the other day, running around flipping on the field and shit. Like, I can't make that play no more.
Did you see that, Adam? Oh, man.
He posted these mad. He's like, man, I think on internet never fails.
So, all right. So, see, you could give us your explanation of what exactly transpired there when you flipped on the field.
Nah, I mean, I seen the ball, right? I'm going to make the play. It's a play that I make all the time where I'm like, I slide, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get down and slide to protect myself, make sure that I'm, you know, not going to hurt my back or whatever. And I went down to do my usual slide and my brace got caught. You know what I mean? And then I literally was down looking at the ball, and then all of a sudden I was looking in the air. And then I seen Tyler Wade's face, and I was like, yo, what just happened? By the look on his face, I could tell some fucked up shit just happened.
You literally were like, I have no idea. You like blacked out.
I honestly didn't know what happened. I just know I had the ball, and like, everybody was like, what the fuck is going on? But it's all good.
I was in Minnesota, like, I was doing WNBA All-Star Game, and all of a sudden I just get bombarded with tweets like, oh my gosh, C just gave me a heart attack. Is he okay? Whatever. Like, what happened? Then I see the first thing I saw was like, it's set to music. You're doing your flip, man.
Nah, that's great.
But so Adam, being 33, what's the biggest difference going out and playing every day as an everyday center fielder at 33 compared to, let's say, like 23 or 25?
I don't know. I haven't played a game at 33 yet. But, you know, just time. I played 1,600-plus games in center field. That's a lot. That's a lot of running. It's a lot of backing up bases.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick because we got a birthday present for you, man. We got a birthday present for you.
I got music for you, too.
Yeah, see? Hey. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you so much.
I don't know if y'all can hear the music.
There you go.
Happy birthday, bro.
You're DJing on the mic. So, CeCe made a point this morning. He's like, it's Adam's birthday. He loves donuts. We got to bring him donuts. Mm-hmm. So, Matt Nimer was able to hook it up and make sure we got
some Dunkin' Donuts for my man.
Yeah, we got some Dunkin' Donuts for you.
I appreciate it, Gracie. Thank you.
Now, can you finish all 12 before the start of the game?
No. Maybe at 23?
Yeah.
At 23, I might be able to get through 3/4 of this pretty easy.
Krispy Kreme, I could take that down. Like, I could take 8 down.
8 down.
Right now.
If they
Krispy
warm?
Kreme, yeah. It don't matter. The maple,
it don't matter.
I can take 8 down and then take 4 down later.
Oh yeah, we got a candle for you, too. Yeah, we got some candles for your donuts. So we have 5 candles, so you can make 5 wishes, Adam.
Okay. I want 5 hits.
Yeah. Probably, if you eat 5 donuts, does it increase or decrease your chances of getting 5 hits?
Increase for sure. Yeah.
Donuts is a part of baseball, bro.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. That's like a clubhouse staple.
You gotta have some donuts.
There's a donut culture in baseball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Day games.
There's always donuts everywhere.
And the best donuts, generally, so far we've been rating them. The best donuts have been in Oakland.
Oakland
they came in that red box.
You know what? You know, I was about to say, the bakeries have the best donuts. Deckin' Donuts have good donuts.
Yeah,
and all
yeah.
That. But like you get those bakeries like in the Midwest, Milwaukee or Cleveland or
Minnesota. Oh my gosh!
Yeah. I live in Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota got some good. Yeah. Yeah.
Chicago has some good ones.
Yeah.
Atlanta had some really good.
It's those places with the bakeries, man.
So will you eat a donut before every game?
No.
Oh, okay.
Day games.
Day games. How about you, C? Is donuts like part of your pre-start fuel?
Yeah. If they there. It don't matter what time it is.
Pitching, not pitching.
If they there, I'm eating.
If there's donuts, you're going for it. I like it. Maybe we get Dunkin' to sponsor the podcast off of this.
That'd
be
great right there.
You might have just made us some money. So thank you.
That's right. Just pass me donuts.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Pay me in donuts.
So I interrupted you talking about the difference in your body now compared to when you were younger because we wanted to give you the donuts. But I'll let you continue that answer.
Well, it's just sheer time. You know, like time. They always say time is undefeated. And, you know, played a lot of games, banged into a lot of walls, dove a lot. But on the other side, my offensive side, I've got a lot of hits. I've ran the bases hard. I've slid in the home, slid in the catchers. So end of the day, at 33, I mean, I've put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this game, and you know it's been great. Just reaped the benefits of it. You know, still being able to be productive at this age, still being able to go out every day and say, "Hey, man, I'm a major leaguer." That's the part. That's why I wake up every day and like, I'm a major leaguer. Let me go out and play as hard as I can. Granted, we're not winning right now. Mm. We're not gonna win the rest of the year. We're gonna win some games, but we're not gonna have any sort of impact the rest of the year. But that's not going to deter me from playing as hard as I can. The men before me, men before you, before us, they played their tails off. They were screwed in a lot of different ways for me to have these rights and for us to be able to have this great game for us. So for me to go out and slack would be a slap in the face to my mentor, McLemore, slap in the face to Wayne Kirby on our staff, slap in the face to everybody previous generation that didn't have the same opportunity that we have. So that's why I wake up every day. I'm just going to go play hard, live with the results. And try and impress somebody, impress a kid, make kids smile. I throw the balls to kids between innings. Something because was the famous Joe DiMaggio's line was he came and played hard every day because there was probably somebody there for that first time who wanted to see him.
So yeah.
It's easy for me to go out and play hard. It's hard for me to slack.
It's not only a good example for kids but for other big leaguers too. To see that, to see you running the bases hard after a ground ball or to see him running after, you know, balls in the outfield and things like that. Knowing what they're going through this year, you know, but still watching him play hard or just playing hard, period, whether they're going through a good phase or not, you know what I mean? Guys look up to guys that play hard, for sure.
Have you ever had a season like that, C, where you guys were
– 1,000. Yeah, like, what are you talking about? I played in Cleveland, dog.
I'm trying, but you had some good Indians teams,
early on, we had some really, really good teams. Yeah. And, you know, those middle years, we were lean. You know what I mean? And they were trading everybody and just trying to figure out – what you need to do to stay in the big leagues and be around it's a tough thing.
Is that hard though when you're going to the park every day and because you guys have been good for a lot of years now, Adam. You mostly know winning in your career. See,
it's hard, but you have, like you said, you're a big leaguer. You're going out to play a game that you love and it's just about your pride at the end of the day and what you want to play for.
Yeah, I got it. Now, Adam, you also yesterday got to answer tons of questions after the game about not being traded. So, you know, Adam's he's a timely guest for us for multiple reasons. It's your birthday and the trade deadline. So thank you for doing this right now. I actually, you know, it's funny. I was like, I'm watching the different, you know, news and stuff, and I'm like, wait, he can't get traded. He's our podcast guest tomorrow. Right? That should have been your reason. Like, guys, I would have accepted the trade, but I had R2C2.
I got R2C2 in the morning. Let's do this after.
Oh, seriously. Was that a hard decision for you at all?
Not really. To be honest, not really. It was based – me and my wife talked about it, and my agent, we talked about the every scenario that could possibly happen. And it was in my best interest personally to stay. It's in the team's best interest, obviously, to get rid of salary and, you know, we know what they're going to do. But I've earned my right to say no. And I said, hell no. You're not going to just tell me or stick me where you want me to go. And I'm not going to just do you a favor just because you want me to. Now, I signed a 6-year contract. I'm going to honor that 6 years. And I'm going to stay until the end. But granted, there's another month. And with the August waiver wire, something could happen. There's a lot of trades that still happen at this time, but You can't come to me and ask me to waive my 10-5 rights a few days before the no-trade deadline. That's a dialogue that you could easily
have. Was that the
have.
First time yeah. y'all talked about it?
Yeah.
Before? Oh, okay, yeah.
So you could come to me early July and be like, hey, obviously the season ain't going where it's going. Would you be willing to waive it, you know, 3 or 4 weeks prior? You asking me 5 days before, I got a wife and two kids. I ain't just uplifting just because you feel that way.
And but if y'all had that conversation before,
it could have been
talking through it and like these different scenarios,
mm-hmm.
probably would have been a different result.
It would have been a different resolve, and I don't think there would have been any animosity on their side towards me. I don't have any animosity. I mean, I'm still happy as hell.
Yeah.
I get they wanted to dump salaries. I get that. But you can't dump salary. I earned it. I earned every single bit of the 10-5.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was in my right. There's a lot of people that don't agree with me. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said this line yesterday. If you want to pay all my bills, I listen to you. Until then, shut the hell up. Everybody want to offer opinions and all that stuff. You don't pay my bills. If you pay my, like I said, pay them. Sir? Yes, sir. But until then, shut the hell up. Man, Dick, everybody has an opinion on the next guy's
yeah,
life
that's what's
while
crazy.
They life suck. Or
yeah.
not say suck, but ain't fulfilling whatever they supposed to be fulfilling. But they want to come and talk to a major league player. Like, I'm 33, very successful. The next person in society aren't as successful, but they want to just dictate our lives and tell us what to do because we have social media, we watch you on TV, we pay your salary, all that kind of stuff. I'm so over when people say that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm so over when people say that. So it's like, you know, these are the things that you worked hard for. These are things that people sat out for. These are things people got colluded on for, mm-hmm. for the simple reason that I can have that right. And I went in there and thanked Wayne Kirby. He was on the picket fence back in 94.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I went in and thanked him. Thank you for allowing me to be able to invoke a right that y'all fought for.
Did you feel, because you just kind of said, did you feel animosity from Baltimore towards you for not accepting it, though?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I heard some of Duquette's comments, you know, and you know, I'm just like, okay. All right. I mean, you can say what you want, but I earned it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And now, like we traded Scope, we traded Manny, we traded Brock, Britton. You guys got Britton here. I mean, those
good
guys.
Good dudes, too. I'm excited.
Britton's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Britton's good people. Shows up ready to pitch. But they ain't got no rights. They didn't have the.
They weren't 10-5 guys.
They weren't.
Yeah.
They weren't. So, like, look at Joe Mauer. He's a 10-5 guy. Beltre, he's not waiving his rights. They're not mm-hmm. winning right now, but he's not waiving his rights. Why? Comfortable.
Mm.
He's happy where he's at. He's a little old. He's 39. Still balling.
Still balling.
Still balling.
Hall of Famer.
Still
we know
balling.
That.
Yeah,
we know.
For sure.
Was there any temptation for you knowing that you'd be in a pennant race if you accepted the trade? I know Philadelphia is the one that was out there.
Yeah, that was the big one, the biggest one out there. But I just don't know if it fit me 100%.
Gotcha.
You know, I think that they have a great team. No, I think they got a great team, great young team with a lot of energy. They got some good vets with Carlos Santana and Jake Arrieta to really push them. Two guys who've been in the playoffs. They faced each other in the World Series 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it fit me personally. I was probably going to go there to platoon in right field with Nick Williams and be more of a mentor role. I believe I got 4 years left of everyday baseball to play. So it just didn't, the role didn't fit me personally. And if it didn't fit me, I have the right to say, it's not going to work for me.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why we like this platform too, right? Like when guys can just kind of control the message themselves and
you mean
express
the podcast?
What they want. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that's what, I mean, that's why we do this is
yeah.
to be, let guys be able to do whatever they mm-hmm. say, whatever they want, express it, themselves the way they want, we do too.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Like
it's here for us, so it's great.
That's good, man. So who knows what happens before August 31st, but at least now, will you be – if they start, like, just playing young guys and sitting you, is that going to bother you here in Baltimore?
Well, it'll definitely annoy the hell out of me because I'm a player. But
yeah.
I understand. And, you know, yeah. I've said this since, like, early June. Call up this Mullins kid.
Mm.
He can play. He's ready. Call him up. See what you have. You want to call somebody up in September and then rush them out there for a month? Nah, you don't need 80 at-bats. You need 150, 200 mm-hmm. at-bats to show what you can do at this level. And I said, call him up. Play him. He needs to play. Does it matter where he plays position-wise right now? No. What matters is he's getting in that batter's box and facing these hitters.
Mm-hmm.
And then in September, you want to just say, look, we want to make you comfortable and have him play center field every day. That's fine with me. I'll move over to right and learn how to play right all over again and create my value going forward to the offseason.
Yeah.
Now, what if I went over to right and was like, damn, you still can play defense?
Mm.
Okay. That might prolong my career another 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've offered advice. I guess it just, it might be just me offering it. It might be the way I offer it, maybe.
Maybe. Do you need to give us a reenactment of that way?
Do you like that mentor role now that you're in, like being an older guy? Like, I mean, obviously I'm 38 years old, and I felt like it just kind of happened overnight for me, you know what I mean, with all these guys getting retiring and getting traded and all that stuff. But you like that? You like that role that you're in right now?
I do. It's, like I said, it just fell upon you. As you get older, you've played, you've accomplished a lot of things, people just tend to gravitate towards your energy, you know. People see me play the game hard every single day. Rooney's why I respect Chris Davis so much. He hits a ground ball. He's not having the greatest year. We all know that. He hits a ground ball, he going to run. Mm-hmm. He gonna run hard every single time, because that's ingrained in him. Play the game hard. He was taught to play the game hard. Other people, they play the game however they fit, however they seem fit, and that's no slight on them. It's just, you know, how they do. But you know, but the greatest thing, the greatest form of flattery is imitation.
Yeah.
So I just was taught to play the game hard. Macklemore. I remember this vivid moment. 2006, I'm 20 years old. I probably turned 21. I hit a ground ball. I'm in Texas. 3-1 count. Smoke a ground ball. Vicente Padilla, right to Kinsler. 3-1. I'm out. I hit the ball. I'm out before I even got out the batter's box.
Yeah.
Just jog down the line. Come back. Willie Bloomquist meets me on the first step and says, if you ever fucking not run, I'll fuck you up.
Wow.
I said, okay. So, all right. So since then, I'm a run. And Willie Bloomquist ain't the star-studded name, but it's somebody that I worked out with him, J.J. Putz, and Matt Thornton created an environment for me when I was with the Mariners that still maintains the mindset of play hard. I always act like I'm the 26th guy like they were. Mm-hmm. And Bloomquist was always the 26th guy with the Mariners. And he played his tail off, and I was able to work out with him for 4 years, and he just crushed me.
But you see that it don't have to come from like a star player. You know what I mean? It comes from whoever it comes from. The message comes, you know what I mean? Like,
and you receive it the same way.
You receive it the same way. As long as it's a veteran and it comes from a good spot, and you know that he's just trying to help. Mm-hmm. I mean, it don't matter who it is. That's the beauty of baseball. It's crazy.
Do you remember any interaction like that one, like the one Adam had with Willie in your career early? Anything you did when you were young where someone was like, hey,
oh, I mean,
don't do that?
It was a lot for me. Yeah. I mean, I was basically – when I first came up, I was 20 years old, obviously, but I was basically like the Marcus Stroman, like where I was out there ranting and hat to the side and huffing and puffing and doing all kind of crazy shit. So – you know, Dave Berber, Chuck Finley, those guys pulled me aside all the time. It didn't work most of the time. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do what I want to do. But, yeah, I mean, I got that talk all the time. Yeah, for sure.
That's good. That's good, man. So you may remember – so Adam, we should let our audience know, Adam was a great sport with us earlier this year.
Yeah.
Because we went to record in April and had serious technical issues.
That was a fuck-up, man. Yeah, like, that was our first fuck-up of, you know, was, the podcast.
That's it. That is. You got to witness. Now, it was a different platform, it was a different time for us. We are now with Uninterrupted. Now we have the incredible Jack Maldonado, who's always manning our technical aspects of things. But Adam was such a good sport with it. And we had just started to bring up, I feel like, how Adam hits you so well.
That's what we were talking about.
I think CeCe might have sabotaged the equipment intentionally there.
The numbers have went down since then.
Wait, have you gotten him this year? Did you go yard on him this year?
No.
I don't even think we face each other this year. Oh, yeah, we face each other once this year.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I think Adam's gotten you
three or four times. Yeah.
Five times.
I know for sure he got a big triple or double my very, very first start.
In Baltimore.
Ooh. As a Yankee.
I remember that.
That was like
opening
the knock
day,
me out of the game.
Yeah, 09, yeah, yeah, right?
That fucked me up. That was
That's right. Do you guys, is there ever any, like, will you shoot him a glare or anything when you're facing Adam?
Nah.
Will you shoot CeCe?
You know what? When you really, with like the friends that you really, really close to, we don't look at each other on the field. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll say what's up to each other today. Like, I'm in the dugout. He's on deck and all that stuff. We'll talk. He's on base, whatever. But, like, when I'm pitching, like, my really, really close friends, like CY, Adam, when Prince played, we won't even look at each other. You know what I mean? Like, we'll talk after.
Triple Cam, let's go.
That's it. You got to be serious.
It's war.
That's it, man. So just for, like, trivia's sake, do you know the two guys who have hit more home runs than Adam off of you?
Manny?
Oh, he might have jumped the list now.
You mean active players?
Not active.
So just active, players,
one's
period.
Active, one's not active.
Oh, man.
Now, Manny may have jumped up the list this year because he got you a couple times.
No,
right?
I meant Manny Ramirez.
Oh, no, no, no. Not Manny Ramirez. I was thinking Machado.
Shit. No, I don't know.
Alfonso Soriano.
Okay. I mean, seven or eight.
So, yeah, he has six, and Longoria.
Oh, who has fuck, eight. Yeah. I was so glad when he got traded out of the division.
That was how you did not
Soriano
need to
used to lead off, right? And, you know, I mean, he would swing at the first pitch. So, like me, I could not throw a fastball the first pitch. Like, everybody was like, why don't you just throw him a breaking ball? I'm like, nah, that's like pride. Like, I'm a power pitcher. I'm throwing a fucking heater. But I would throw that shit in the dirt. And then throw a breaking ball second pitch.
Oh, that's great. I love it. You would not give in. But you
I'm not giving in, but I would throw
it.
That shit in the dirt, though.
I like that. Now, Adam, you're a foodie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So when you come to New York, where are you usually chowing down?
One of my favorite restaurants is called Cabana on 61st and 3rd. It's a Cuban place.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I live on the Upper East Side. Oh, I got to check that out.
I go there. It's chicharrones de pollo.
Oof.
Yeah.
It just sounds great when you say it.
Chicharrones de pollo. But Tao is one of my favorite spots. I can't stare at the Big Buddha. It scares the hell out of me, so I said, back to it. The Shabu
Look
Shabu.
At him writing it down. He writing down the place.
You see that? Cabana, 61st. I'm a foodie too, man. I'm expanding my list.
There's a ramen spot. I forgot the name. I don't really know the names. My cousins, my wife's families, they all live here, so they just take me to wherever I want to eat.
You got any breakfast spots here? Like you know, Baltimore, I go to Blue Moon, Miss Shirley's, you know what I mean? Like, those are my spots.
Good breakfast spots?
Oh, man. Yeah.
There's one on the Upper East Side where we buy our hotel. It's called Three Guys, I think. It's okay. But the one that I had, it's on the lower, it's not downtown, but lower something. They had a baked oatmeal.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
I'm going to get the name. There's a place, too, that I went to.
It's one in Soho or Tribeca, I guess, and then there's one in the meatpacking called Bubby's.
I love Bubby's.
Bubby's
is
good.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any New York City, breakfast spots.
Right, because
you're
eating breakfast
in Jersey.
Exactly.
Brownstone Pancake Factory is the best place.
I've heard that place makes the most unbelievable
it's
milkshakes,
off the hook. If you come to Jersey, I got you, though.
Okay.
The place is off the hook. But I'm sure New York got good spots.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Like, same thing for me. I live in the city. Usually I'm having breakfast, like, just at home.
But
you know,
breakfast spots are my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
on the road, that's my thing.
That's my favorite meal to actually
go
out.
Did you like Keys?
Oh, it was fantastic.
You been to Keys in Minnesota?
Fantastic. It's right attached to the W.
I haven't. It's a good spot. I'm a room service guy. I'm a room service breakfast. I don't want to get up.
Really?
Yeah, I'm room service.
But the breakfast spots are the best spots, man.
I need to go. Well, you save exponentially. Room service breakfast is $70,
$80. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Plus,
man.
When I order room service, they always ask how many people eating. It's just me.
Always.
It's just me. I ordered all this shit, but it's just me. Bring one fucking setting. It's only me up here. Don't ask me again who's eating in here.
That's great.
I hate that shit. I feel so bad. How many people we dining with you? Oh, it's just me, man.
And then I'm like, damn, he ordered all that food.
What you mean, how many people? That is terrific, man. Oh, I was in Minnesota the other day, and I'm texting C. I'm like, you got a spot. So he gave me Keys. That is a great
breakfast spot.
That was fantastic. And I found another good breakfast spot, Spoon and Stable. You ever eat there?
Oh, yeah, Spoon and Stable is good.
Oh, man, I loved it. They had like a whole pastry, I don't know what it was, setup that
Minnesota
was like crazy.
Minnesota has a lot of restaurants that are farm to table, too.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the restaurants.
Spoon to Stable is.
Huge.
Yeah.
I go the opposite way. I eat Korean barbecue.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, man.
I eat farm to table. Street to table.
Now, are you guys having, are you having dinner when you're done with your games, like late at night? Will you usually eat dinner?
Yeah, I don't necessarily eat dinner at the ball at the clubhouse because I don't know, my adrenaline's still going. I'm not hungry yet. I need to really wind down. So I generally will go out to eat, especially in bigger cities here, Boston's. I go out to eat because they have things to stay open late. And like Minnesota, we went out there and they had this Korean barbecue place stayed open to 2 a.m.
Oh my god! Wow!
Phenomenal.
In Minnesota, you
gotta give me the name of that spot.
That's my thing right now is Korean barbecue. I'm going tonight when we get to Dallas.
Nice,
man.
Yeah. What time was that?
We get in about it. We should get in about
it. Oh, because it's a day game. That's right. Yeah, you should get in a decent time.
That's not the Yankees, though. They get day games on getaway day.
Oh, my gosh,
We never get day games. Never, though.
Oh, man.
We never get in with
the
sun.
We screw everybody on it, so that's why teams used to screw us. So let's play day games. Get everybody out.
We'll even think about it like this coming week, right? Because I'm doing your games in Chicago. You guys had, it'd be so nice if you were able to get in Sunday night, have a nice dinner in Chicago.
Oh, no, we got Sunday night baseball.
Yeah, you got Sunday night baseball. So
be at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Sunday night baseball. That, like,
There'll be none of that. You won't be having that meal.
The worst is Sunday night baseball before the All-Star game.
Man, I'm so glad they got rid of that. You know what they should do with that?
We had that game a couple years ago.
They should make that the Futures game.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Make Sunday night baseball the Futures game. You got all these young players. You want to showcase your players. Like,
I've never seen the Futures play.
We never get to see them because we're always traveling. They play at 1 o'clock on Sunday, which was when everybody else is playing.
100%.
Don't have it when the big leagues are playing. Play it at 8 o'clock and let these kids showcase at nighttime.
That's a good point.
You get the All-Stars, the guys that want to go on trips for the All-Star break, get the fuck out of there. They don't have to play the 8 o'clock game. And the guys that are going to the All-Star game get there at a good time. So they can have a good day. You know what I mean?
That is a great idea.
That's what they should do.
You know what? And I, just as like a fan, as a consumer of the game, I would love to watch these kids.
You get the Sunday night baseball game and it's the 8 o'clock. It's something different.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You get the same announcers, but it's the young kids.
It's a unique set. Yeah, man. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
I actually really – look at you, man. You're coming up with all these programming things.
They
really should. Someone's going to. Although this week, you know, CeCe's like – He goes back and forth like, you know, am I going to play him? Am I not going to play him? Right? He's getting more and more vocal about like, oh, no, if I feel like this, I'm going to play next year.
I want to play next year. I've already.
Now you're committed in your mind.
I'm committed. Yeah.
Was it London that gave you the push?
It was London. We playing in London next year, dog. Okay. That's the push.
you're going to see one of them tweets again from spring training. You was doing something. You was like,
oh, I was tired.
I'm too old for this shit.
After that bullpen, I posted that picture, dog. I ain't know if I was going to make it, man.
Seriously, man.
The first day, the first week killed me.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Those first couple bullpens, man, I was dying.
Oh, man.
I was dying.
So, CeCe always talks about, like, how he feels like he has social media friends, people who he's never met, but based on social media, he knows he would be boys with them. Like, for you, you always say 2 Chainz, right?
2 Chainz, Lil Duval.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Do you have one of those? You have a social media friend who you never met, but you're like, you know what? I know we would get along. I know we'd be tight.
No one is famous as CeCe would get. I mean, he's New York City. Not really. In terms of like just random people.
Yeah. Is there someone who you love following?
Lou Duvall's a funny one.
Yeah?
He's funny because he keeps it light. Obviously, what's going on in the world, he keeps everything light. Who else? Who else is a good follow? Jaleel White is a good one for me.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I met him a couple years ago with some friends in L.A. We got some mutual friends. Dude's awesome. His Instagram's funny.
Oh, that's good, man.
You know who's funny for me? Who else is Afion Crockett? You know that dude?
Yeah.
He's funny, man. He plays in a lot of different movies. I'll show you his
Instagram. Yeah, show me a picture. Yeah.
He's got a funny
Instagram.
You
like following him?
Yeah.
Will you check like the comments on your social media stuff?
Sometimes.
Adam? Yeah.
Not really, because at the end of the day, it's always, you know, you could post the sky's blue and they're going to be like, I love you play baseball. It's got nothing to do with the zoo. I post some food. Please stay with the Orioles. Like the food or something. Just like the food.
Or you get like a, no, it's not blue. It's white with a hue of blue. Like you get
I wish I was there. It's raining where I'm at.
Well,
that sucks where you're at. just say it looks beautiful or don't say nothing.
That's great. Now, you have the Mr. Allen Chronicles on Instagram, though.
Yep.
Explain to us. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Mr. Allen is awesome. I need to check in on Mr. Allen, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
You know, who's Mr. Allen?
He is our neighbor in spring training. So we were able to get rent a place for 2 years back-to-back, which is hard to do, 2 years in a row in spring training. And my dog at the time, she would walk down the street and meet his dog. And his wife was alive at the time in spring training of 17. And, you know, she was battling cancer. It was crazy how the story all happened. She was battling cancer. So my mother-in-law, who was just talking to her about different ways that she would do it, how she battled it, because she would use the medicinal way of treatment instead of, you know, chemo. So it actually prolonged her life about another year and a half, which was great. She passed that winter, but it prolonged her life. Cannabis is better than chemo.
Duh. Right.
But we just took a liking to each other. He asked me this spring training. He's like, I was coming home. He said, hey, Adam, what do you drink? And I said, I like a good scotch. About an hour later, knocked on the door. He's like, I got a good scotch. Okay. We sat out there. We talked. He's still alive. He's a pilot. He's an Air Force. The guy's just, I just sat there and just listened.
That's awesome.
Just listened to a story. Grew up in a small little town in Tampa. He told me that when he was, I think he was 7 or 8, his dad said, you can either have a boat or a bike. He's like, I want a boat. And what kid says that? So that's why he's just an awesome guy. He could throw him back.
Yeah.
Oh,
even at 88.
Oh, my God. That meat threw Maker's back. Oh, man. Oh, I see he was making drink after him. I'm like, Mr. Allen, you all right? No, I'm all right. I come home some days. I see him on his couch. Mr. Allen had too many of them drinks. Well, he was just a nice guy who just was genuine, who is genuine. And we just took a liking to each other. And, you know, I bounced some ideas off his head. And it was good to hear just that old school mindset. You know what I mean? He's just as old school as it comes, and very nice old man.
See, now, and for anyone who hasn't seen the posts for the Mr. Allen Chronicles, you just follow Adam on Instagram, and you'll get to – now you have some background for that insight.
And Adam is a good follow, too, while we bullshitting. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he's funny, and he's got some good stuff, good food and stuff.
Yeah, good food
picks. I just did my whole today – the elevator scene.
Oh, man. That was terrible. Where was that at?
In Toronto? At the King Edward Hotel. We stayed at the Omni. That's the oldest hotel there.
They got stuck in the elevator.
No.
I'll be freaking out.
Oh, no.
I put it all over my story.
Oh, I got it.
Bleacher Report.
Did you put it on your...
I put it on my story.
Just your story?
I would have been freaking out in the elevator. You I'm just letting you know.
I got to see. I got
to... We get stuck in the elevator. It's not good.
It was nine of us. It was
after the game, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was only on your story, though, not the other.
It was funny because I got CD, like, trying to pull the door open. Obviously, the big, strong guys are trying to pull the elevator door open. So that drew more interest and... It was hilarious.
Oh, that's awesome.
I ran out of drink, so I was kind of mad. That's when I started panicking.
How long was y'all in there?
Hey, man, like 30 minutes.
Damn. Oh, shit. That's a long time, man.
That's too long,
It started
man.
To get hot the last 10 minutes. I was videotaping my brother-in-law. His head was boiling.
I saw him, too. He was panicking.
Yeah. See, isn't that great? That's where social media is at its best, where it's like, oh, something like annoying or something terrible is going, not like truly terrible, but something like, you know, frustrating is going on. Hey, we'll document it and make it funny.
For sure.
Like,
yeah. The worst, though, is be safe. I'm in an elevator.
I'm in an elevator. What do you want me to do?
I'm not on a plane. I'm not on a bus that just tipped over. I'm not on a train. I'm on an elevator, man. This is hilarious. Be safe, man. Oh, man, please get out. I'm so thankful you got out. Firefighters is coming. Okay? There ain't no panic button here. Firefighters coming.
I would have been panicking.
Don't you think Adam could have his own podcast too?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. That might be. Hey, do you?
You said, ooh, that would get hectic. Who would you want to host it with if you had your own podcast? Who you think?
You.
Rook is good, man. I don't do shit. I come here and just talk, man.
I think that's
prepared.
The best.
Whenever, I appreciate it.
And you just, like, you have everything prepared for us and just say, boom. And we're good on thinking on our toes. We react to the situation opposed to. We're not thinkers, you know?
I mean, I don't know about that, but that's my job is to be able to just, like, create the lane for us to be able to have free-flowing conversation, you know?
And I think that's what the beauty of podcasts is. You actually get to be yourself opposed to the other publications. You have to be a little more...
Yeah.
Politically correct on here. You got to be political.
Nah, you can say whatever you want. Yeah. That's what I like about it. And people get to know your personality, like really who you are.
Yeah.
You know, especially through this, because they listen to you all the time.
Yeah, and they'd be like, oh, but he's actually real. And opposed to, like, we're not robots.
Right.
We're not a robot.
Right.
We play a great game and all that stuff, and that's all fine and dandy on the field, but we still have 16 hours in a day like everybody else to do other things than our job. So,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do y'all fantasy football over there, big fantasy football?
Oh, yeah.
You in?
Yeah.
Who your football team?
I ain't got
you a Ravens
team,
fan now?
I grew up a Niners fan. My grandma hated the Chargers, dog. My grandma hated the Chargers. I grew up a Niners fan. Then when I got older, I loved Peyton Manning, so I followed his entire career. And then he went to Denver. I can't like Denver because I'm San Diego.
So then I
took a liking to the Ravens because I was there. I followed them the whole Super Bowl thing because I was there. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. There. I support them. I support the Ravens. I definitely will. If I'm in Maryland this offseason, I'll attend a couple games. I like football. Who doesn't like football?
Yeah.
I don't really have a team, and it's crazy. I don't know. I don't know what your plans is, but November 25th, I'm having my tailgate. It's right after Thanksgiving. Who they play?
Raiders.
The Raiders.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
In Baltimore.
You got
I'm fully decked out Raiders shit.
Yeah.
For sure. I got my Raiders jersey here
like,
right
bring
now.
It bring it on. Bring it on. Oh, yeah, no, you want to get taunted.
Like, I don't fuck around. Like, I mean, you don't know. You know, I mean, you haven't seen me yet during football season.
Oh, yeah.
Real.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, I'm a Raider.
It's Oakland, man.
No, I'm like, that shit ain't no joke.
It's a culture, man.
Do people ever come at you when you're wearing your stuff in opposing stadiums?
What are you going to do?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I'm ready.
No, that's it.
I come ready, cuz.
Like, if I'm decked out,
if that's where we going,
they can
I'm ready.
Come at me.
Nah, you
I'm
know
not
what I'm
6'7".
I wear my shit and put it on ready to whatever.
Yeah,
whatever's
to
coming.
Rumble.
Yeah, whatever's coming.
I want to, at some point, I want to go to a Raiders game with you, but in Oakland or Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Vegas.
You got to come to Oakland first.
Oakland, yeah, okay.
Because we tailgate. I think it's December 2nd.
You're doing a whole...
I'm doing a tailgate December 2nd.
Okay.
So that's the week after that. Yeah. So,
If I'm free, I'm going to have to check that out.
Nah, the tailgates be crazy, man. It's fun. Last year we did... Hixie came out. They played the Giants, the tailgate, and we tailgated. It's about 60 people going to the game and just have a ball, man.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Nothing wrong with that.
Do you like getting the opportunity just to be a fan, too?
I'm a fan more than anything, I think, of sports.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's what... I mean, that's what drives my love, obviously, for baseball, is my love for the game, is being a fan of it. And I like to watch guys hit, and I like to watch baseball, but I'm a fan of every sport. I mean, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. Big time. And, you know, it sucks that we trade Machado, but I get to watch him at night.
Yeah.
In L.A. When I go home, what else am I going to do?
I watched his at-bat last night in the ninth.
What else am I going to do? When I go home after the game, my house is dark. Kids sleep, wife sleep. The house is dark. So I'm like, let me just stay.
I always watch the 10 o'clock game.
Always.
Yeah. Whoever it is.
I generally watch the Padres more, but I don't watch the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I watch the Dodgers.
So what happens if it's a Yankees-Dodgers World Series and CeCe's facing Machado? What are you rooting for in that at-bat?
That's a good question.
Dang, that's a long way away, huh?
That's a long way away. Hey, whoever wins.
Do you watch the playoffs?
I watch the playoffs, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, and definitely World Series. Every pitch is.
It's intense, man. It's intense.
It's like, boom.
Yeah.
It's pitch 12 of the game. That pitch is important. It's the whole driving of the game. My love for baseball came really in '96 when the Padres won the National League West. Mm-hmm. And I'm 11 at the time, and that's like drew my interest. We just got our TV station in San Diego, and like baseball, Tony Gwynn, Greg Vaughn, Ken Caminiti, Steve Finley, all them, Trevor Hoffman, all those guys. So it was like, I got a good team in San Diego. Then 97 had a down year, 98 win it again, and then go to the
World
Series.
And
I'm 13 at the time, like, I really like baseball. So that took me and propelled me to start playing more and more and more. And we're fans. That's the thing that people separated, you know. We enjoy seeing other people do well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just like, I want to be well, I want to do good, I want to do good. Nah, it's actually awesome to see, like, Jose Ramirez raking.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is
raking.
Nasty,
on fire.
Yeah.
On fire. Lindor, raking. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great to see other people enjoy themselves and be successful. A lot of people want to see the next person down. Like, you know, obviously New York and Boston, you guys hate each other.
Yeah.
City to city. Yeah, you hate each other.
Right.
I'm San Diego. You don't hate nobody. You know, we don't hate nobody. You know what I mean?
But like last night, I liked to watch Mike Trout hit. Like, he hit that ball down and in dead center. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Prince is playing, I love to watch him hit. Like, I like to watch Ryan Braun hit. The guys that I play with, I like to watch their at-bats. Like, shit is fun.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I like that. So, will you, Adam, be rooting for either Yankees or Red Sox to win the division? Like, will you have a rooting interest?
I'm trying to beat all their asses.
Yeah, I was about to say, hell no. What kind of question is that?
He knows his team isn't going to win the division this year.
He don't care about either one of these teams.
Tampa.
All right, fair enough.
Fair enough.
How about, let me ask you this one. Looking ahead, like free agency. Because you've never had the chance to be a free agent yet, right?
Mm-mm.
Do you like already in your mind have some ideas about like what could be a possibility for you in the off season?
No,
I was about to say whatever idea you have, scrap it.
Yeah,
scrap it. It's a free fall.
I got no idea because I mean, I came in here, I got traded over here, and then I've been here 11 years, so it's like this is what I know. Now Seattle was what I knew before. Then I had to adjust. And then learn here. Now, if I have to adjust and learn somewhere else, I'm a professional. I'll figure it out.
And you will. It's baseball. Yeah. Like, it's nerve-wracking, and you get nervous to go different places. But once you get there, it's all the same.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going to NASA.
No, it's all the same. It's not like you're learning something different. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to play baseball, and that's what you do. So, You'll be fine.
If you do go to NASA, make sure you break that news on R2 season.
I will. I definitely want to go to space.
Hey, Adam, we could do this all day, man. I know you guys, you got to run and go take care of some things, or maybe Aaron has to come in and do his press conference.
But very more important.
Happy birthday, man.
I appreciate it.
And thank you for doing it, Adam. I'm glad the equipment held up this time.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
Thanks, Jack.
Jack's our MVP. Yo, I love Adam. We could talk to him all day, man.
Right? We didn't have to end that.
No,
he
could have
kept going, man. He needs his own podcast.
He really does, man.
Or he can be a third guest for us.
I was going to say, he could be a recurring guest for us. Yeah. Like, you know, come
whenever
in.
He's in town.
Let's do it.
If the equipment works.
Yeah, that's it. And with Jack, it always does. So we're good. We're good. All right, make sure you rate, review, subscribe. Remember, we're going to be tweeting out more information about the contest we told you
five
about.
Five stars.
Five stars. That's it. R2C2. We out.